Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, I got one wish here at 9 o'clock. That Joe's elbow is as good as his taco. We just tried a Joe's Autobata taco this morning here. Courtesy of Puesto, which ballpark,
unbelievable.
Downtown, got some locations. Tomorrow's actually National Taco Day, we found out, and Mandy came by and dropped off some tacos, including Joe's Autobata Taco Special, in partnership with Joe Musgrove. He likes his Mexican food. I mean, you see him on the Saquon ads eating 17 burritos in front of him. He's a good San Diegan. He likes his Mexican food, and if there's any power in tacos to cure what ails you in your elbow. I do think there is power in tacos. He's got a good one right now.
That was fantastic.
That was really good.
It had a little grilled pineapple on there. Oh, my God. It was perfect. All right. There's just...
Paulie's showing it off right now.
To let everybody know, if you're looking at Paulie's screen in a minute, you might be able to see the window washers right outside of our windows. And it's quite unnerving.
To you.
To me.
I mean, are you worried they're going to break in somehow?
No, I'm worried that they're going to fall.
Well, that's really more of a them problem.
It's not. That means I have to see it, man. So your back is to them, but I'm watching them slide up and down, clean these windows, and it is...
I appreciate them because I like a good view out the window on the sixth floor here.
You appreciate them because they're cleaning your windows.
Exactly.
Lord.
I don't want to clean it myself.
No, I mean, you couldn't.
I'm not really afraid of heights.
No, I am. I am not a fan.
I mean, if you walked out on that platform that they've got, it's like a normal space where you could walk around. I mean, you don't just fall down in normal life when you're walking on a flat space. Why would you fall because you're six floors above the ground?
It's hanging from a string.
It's hanging from a cable or two, maybe.
It's hanging from a couple of strings.
I'm sure they have a safety wire attached. Now, that would be terrifying. If you actually did fall and then you're just dangling by the safety wire, I would not want that for sure.
No. And that's a possibility every day.
You believe they're underpaid. You don't know what they're paid, but you think they're underpaid.
I promise you, whatever they're paid is about 10 times less than what they're actually worth. You could give me $500,000 a year to wash windows. I couldn't do it. There's no way. I'd make it one afternoon and go, that's it for me. I'm not a big fan of heights nor dangling from the sixth floor. I mean, look how much it's moving.
I'm not
dude.
Looking. That's I don't like to see them.
It is terrible. Hey, Woodsy, you want to do your own stunts? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Holy cow, man. Anyway. So
it's all set in the American League. Both division series are set. The wild card series are over. The Kansas City Royals sweep the Baltimore Orioles.
They are in the chamber.
And are off to face the New York Yankees in game one of the ALDS on Saturday. Meanwhile, the Detroit Tigers, we talked about them a little bit earlier, surprising upset in Houston, taking both games from the Astros. They are on their way to Cleveland for an AL Central matchup against the Guardians. That'll be the first game on Saturday at 10:08 a.m. So the AL series are set. Padres Dodgers obviously is set. And we got one more series to decide. A game three tonight in Milwaukee, 4:00 first pitch. The Mets could not close out game two yesterday despite having a 3-1 lead. The Brewers rallied with four runs in the eighth inning. Jackson Churio hit not one but two game-tying home runs in
Unreal,
that game.
Man.
You know, our Jackson is coming up big in the postseason. Their Jackson is as well. And the Brewers pushed it to a game three with a 5-3 win yesterday. So they will have Tobias Myers on the mound in game three against Jose Quintana for the Mets at 4 o'clock later this afternoon. And the winner gets the Phillies.
Oof, quite
in the NLDS.
I love what he said. Like, I love in the American League, it's just the Central against the Yankees is what it is basically right now. The much maligned Central.
And had the Mets held on, the Central would be totally gone from the National League.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Brewers still have a shot, though, in that series. Now, I assume if you're the Phillies, you're more than happy to see those two teams continue to battle. I mean, if the Mets make it through, they will have played critical games all weekend, a doubleheader on Monday, three huge games, including, you know, an eliminator possibly today against Milwaukee, using all the pitching. They're going like, hey, yeah, make this as hard as possible, you know, for the Mets or the Brewers to advance in this series before we just wait with Zach Wheeler rested and fresh and ready to go on Saturday, presumably Aaron Nola on Sunday, to have the advantage in that matchup.
It's been fun to watch, man. It really has. And I thought what AJ Hinch did yesterday, man, it was pretty legendary. It was just one after the other after the other. And you could see the grin on his face. I mean, I think managers like doing that. I mean, obviously, not every pitcher you have is a horse that's going to go out there and give you seven, right? And if you have to be creative, he was as creative as it could get. And he did put, did you see the Jackson Jobe? He put Jackson Jobe there. He'd just been called up. He's their number one prospect. And, they put him in and he served it up, man. He gave up the tying run, but they got right back, picked him up. And, you know, AJ kind of puts his arm around him. He's like, don't worry. I heard a great story about him yesterday.
Jackson Jobe?
No, AJ Hinch.
Hinch.
So Spencer Torkelson was their number one pick a couple years ago and was just, I remember we covered it, and we were like, good God, man, we're watching videos of that guy. Like, this guy's going to hit 50 homers. Like, he's unbelievable talent. Well, it didn't go well because it's really hard to hit in the big leagues. And, he ended up getting sent down this season. And they said that AJ Hinch would call in, check with him and say, hey, man, you're good. Like, you're going to be back. You're part of this team. Like, really took him under his wing.
Part of our future.
Part of our future. Yeah. I thought that was just the coolest thing. And obviously AJ knows how to win and has done a really, really phenomenal job in Detroit. Just a really cool, story for them and just a team that needed that.
I thought the Astros were going to come back and, you know, I had a lot of faith in Hunter Brown, which he was good. A one earned run, 9 strikeouts yesterday. But the bullpen game kept him in it, and all it takes is, you know, one rally.
That's it.
All it takes, and the Tigers got their one rally and beat Josh Hader to win that series, so they move on. So that's what happened yesterday. I think Paulie's got a little bit more, though, for us coming up on our Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report. With Paul Rindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Gentlemen, just two stories for you. I was going to include all of the rest of yesterday's action. We just got to it right there.
Sorry, Paul.
In the wild card round. No, perfectly fine.
Okay.
So, just a quick football story. We actually probably could have and should have done this in a don't do this week.
This is unbelievable.
God.
This is unbelievable. I can't believe it.
Rashee Rice, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Just got hurt, right?
Yeah. He got hurt on Sunday.
Oh, you remember his offseason?
Suffered a knee injury.
Remember his offseason?
Remember his offseason.
The 100 and
mile an hour.
30 mile an hour accident he got in in Dallas, here in Dallas. And they just got hurt, out for the season. After last week's game.
It's been a rough year.
Yeah.
And, then again, he gets hurt, leaves the game on Sunday. That's never good. And then you got to deal with some extracurricular activities that you really had nothing to do with yourself. I don't know what it is about the Chiefs players and their family members just
it
absolutely putting them in the torture chamber, but Mama Rice.
Mama Rice. What are you
is
doing?
Is in a little bit of trouble. Marcia Kearney is her name, and she has a Chiefs jersey that says Mama Rice on the back. So there's
custom
no,
Chiefs jersey for her son.
Yeah. There's no mistaking who she is.
Right.
And she's in trouble because, well, she got caught on Ring camera footage of her stealing her neighbor's package, which
off the doorstep,
off
like,
the doorstep,
kind of kicked it away from like where she thought the camera might pick her up.
And but then, she was wearing
Rice, that Chiefs jersey.
Custom jersey,
Mama Rice,
Mama Rice.
Very clear to spot.
So she knew there was a camera because she was trying to avoid it, but she still didn't bother to change or at least put on like a neutral sweatshirt or something.
She kind of like walks past the door and then comes back into the frame and you're like, oh my God. So she's wearing the jersey. It's very easy to tell exactly who it is. Yeah,
what was so important that she had to steal?
Well, I don't know if she knew what it
was. That's true. It's kind of a, it's one of those mystery gift games,
but
when you're
stealing packages. We did find out that the package included several Chapel Roan vinyl records.
Oh, wow.
From Urban Outfitters. So maybe she saw it was an Urban Outfitters box and thought, hey, they got a little bit of everything.
This Urban Outfitters sells Chapel Roan vinyl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they sell vinyl there.
A lot of
they
music
do?
There.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When's the last time you, well, have you ever set foot in Urban Outfitters?
I assume they were just, they sold outfits. Like clothes. Is it not a clothing store?
It is.
Okay.
But it's all.
They also have vinyl.
They've got vinyl. They got some knickknacks and all. It's a cool store. I mean, actually, do not go in there solo at 49 years old.
It sounds like you're describing like Target.
Yeah. I mean,
a
but there's
no groceries.
It's got some stuff.
Minus groceries.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But you can get
cleaning supplies.
Right. No, none of
not
that.
At Urban Outfitters.
It's clothes Fitters. And like you know,
candles,
kitschy
and,
candles yeah. and vinyl and stuff like yeah. that.
So Bed Bath & Beyond.
No, it has clothes.
All right. Bed Bath & Beyond with clothes.
Urban Outfitters. It's just Urban Outfitters.
It's like you don't go to a taco shop and be like, yeah, but I mean,
there are more stores than just
are
Costco,
you guys like
man.
McDonald's, right?
Costco has everything, though. Why? I can get clothes. I can get knickknacks.
You can't get
I just get a lot of them at once.
Yeah. But it's for like you know younger kids. So don't go in there.
Janet DiGio says they sell prank stuff like whoopee cushions.
Yeah.
So it's Spencer Gifts.
Oh my God! It's Urban Outfitters.
Spencer Gifts.
It's Urban Outfitters. Just go. Don't go in there. You know, by yourself.
Why?
Because you'd look like a creep. Because there's a bunch of 16, 17-year-old girls in there,
yeah.
And nothing's fitting you there. Nothing. Me neither.
Like Five Below.
I don't know what that is.
That's like the new dollar store, except it's $5 or less.
And less.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I don't know that anything is $5 or less at
Urban Outfitters.
Yeah, right. He is a one-stop shop kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the one-stop.
Yeah, he does.
All right, and then finally.
You get gas at Costco, too.
You can.
Yeah.
Finally, I decided
can you get it
to
at
do
Urban
some
Outfitters?
You cannot.
Okay.
Some fun audio for our final story here. Just a abbreviated version of all the calls. If you missed our Padres wrap-up or you forgot our Padres wrap-up, it's 2.5 hours ago, you definitely heard Jesse Agler's call of the Higgy Bomb from yesterday, the one to tie it up 1-1 in the second inning. Here's Jesse Agler if you missed it.
1-2 pitch is hit in the air to deep left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. Oh, my goodness, it's going to go. Kyle Higashioka takes it out for the second consecutive night and a 1-1 game here in the second inning.
That's pretty good. Pretty good call.
Yeah, very good call.
Unfortunately, Jesse and I'm assuming ESPN were both upstaged by the GOAT, Eduardo Ortega.
He wasn't a finalist for the Hall of Fame this year. They just announced
How?
Him. He's not on there yet. Got to get him on. Got to get him into the Hall
Ford
of Fame.
The Ford Frick, right?
The Ford Frick yeah. Award. He's not one of the 10 finalists.
Listen to this call. I'm going to turn down the Rinder Report music and just allow you to listen to all of Eduardo Ortega last night. Higgy's home run.
A punto de matar la entrada en orden. Lanza Max Fried para Higashioka. La prendió por el izquierdo. La repitió. Paga caro. Vuela la bola. La va a sacar. Se empató el juego. Higgy. Segundo día consecutivo en los wild card. La botó ayer en la octava para la cuarta carrera del equipo. Swing con dos outs a la calle. Higashioka, Higashioka, ra, 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 ra. Juego nuevo, estremece, Petco revive la emoción, la marea dorada. Los Padres regresaron en la segunda entrada.
Bueno, Eduardo, lo estaba diciendo.
Fantastic.
I love how he says Higashioka. It's a little bit different than we said. It's more Higashioka, Higashioka. I like that.
Yeah, it's great.
It was good.
¡Empató el juego! ¡Higgy, Higgy!
Higgy, Higgy, yeah. I heard something about Izquierda, which is left.
Here it is.
Higashioka, rara.
I love him so much, dude.
Unbelievable.
We got a juego nuevo. New game.
New game.
All tied at one. Good stuff from Eddie, as always.
Got our beloved Carlos Hernandez yesterday.
Rolls his R's
angel.
In a way I could never dream of rolling his R's.
Yep.
Not you got to see Carlos, too?
Yeah,
that was him and the little color at the end.
The best.
Did you see Fernando is stepping aside, at least temporarily, got some health concerns from his color commentary.
Oh, Fernando Valenzuela.
Duties with the Dodgers, apparently. But they're hopeful he'll be back next season. But
it's like, just be careful when you throw around the words.
Yeah, Fernando
is stepping concerns.
Right. Yes. Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah.
He was a Padre as well. So I have a little more warm feelings towards him than maybe some other ex-Dodgers.
Makes sense. Yeah, you don't want anybody to,
He was on a really good 1996 Padres team that won the division and went to the playoffs and spent some time here as well. So. Best wishes to Fernando Valenzuela.
Best wishes.
But not the rest of the Dodgers, obviously.
Right.
All right, Paulie, good job with the Rindle report there. Sorry I stole some of the thunder on the other games, but...
No. Happy.
Hey, we get it covered. We want to make sure we talk about all of it.
Either before or after the long intro, it does not matter.
All right, a little preview of the roundtable coming up. And we talked about a little bit with Eno, but how do you tackle this series if you don't have Joe Musgrove available? We brought up a couple of the options. I want to throw one more out that hasn't been discussed yet. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben Woods after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saw a lot of people wondering why Yu Darvish was not, the first option out of the bullpen. I mean, he's out there. Joe gets hurt in the fourth inning yesterday. All right, perfect situation. You can take over. You can warm up as long as you'd like. Where Matt Scraby pointed out something that is actually fairly obvious, but with the situation when a pitcher gets hurt and you could take as many warm up pitches as you want. They always make them do it on the mound, though, instead of, just do it in the bullpen and then come back out to the mound for your last few. It's that awkward where you could be out there, 4 or 5, 6 minutes.
Yeah,
like
just getting loose.
Getting loose out there in front of an entire sold-out crowd of people. It is really an awkward situation, but that's just how they do it.
I thought the same thing. I thought, moment for Yu Darvish. This is why I put him in there.
I thought it as well.
I thought maybe let Hoeing get out of the inning, and then Yu Darvish comes in and starts a clean.
You know who else did? Is our boss, Adam Klug, was vehemently, he wanted it so badly. And I told him, I said, this was before the game. This was before Joe got hurt. He said, so do you get you in tonight? And I go, why? Do you piggyback you? And I said, well, why would you do that? And I said, that's a Dave Roberts move. That's a chasing a moment that you don't need to chase for a guy that doesn't pitch out of the bullpen just because he's in the bullpen. I go, you went out and got a ridiculous bullpen for a reason.
That's the break glass in case of emergency.
That's it's like norovirus rips through the bullpen and you have to use somebody. You know what I mean? Like there's no reason to chase that moment. Which is not a moment Yu Darvish needs.
Well,
you know?
It's possible that Mike Schilt just thought, okay, this is our best strategy. It's also possible that it's a window into their thinking for this upcoming series against the Dodgers. We know Dylan Cease was going to be ready for Game 3 or save for Game 1 on Saturday. But if you want Yu Darvish to pitch in Game 2, you wouldn't want to pitch him on Wednesday because then he'd be pitching on 3 days rest. So if you had him go 3 or 4 innings, you probably would burn him for game 2 of the series and have to hold him back for game 3 in San Diego on Tuesday, which is possible because Michael King can pitch on Sunday on normal rest. Remember,
right.
He pitched on Tuesday, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 4 days, normal rest. You could go back with Michael King in game two. What would you say are the pros and cons there? I would assume it's going to be Cease, Darvish, King back on Tuesday at Petco Park, but you could go Cease, King right off the bat with your maybe your number one and two options.
Does it change if you win game one or lose game one with Cease?
Yeah, I mean,
do you want to play it by ear, or do you want to have the guys just ready and locked in and knowing where they're going to pitch?
I think it's the playoffs. I think you can play it by ear. I think you should play it by ear. I think they probably will play it by ear. I mean, I could be wrong. We may get a chance to catch up with Mike Schilt tomorrow here on Ben and Woods. And if not on our show, then on Gwynn and Chris.
And I'm sure he'll be very forthcoming with all of these details.
Tell us exactly what his plan is. But, I mean, you know, got to ask the question, certainly. But I see what your point is, Benny, about, hey, you're going one, you're going two.
Well, I haven't gotten my final point.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. The final point would be if you started King in game two, you would have the option of either Cease or King in a game five on Friday.
Yes.
Whereas if you wait and use King in game three, he won't be able to come back on Friday because that would just be 2 days rest. But if you pitch him on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if it goes the distance to game five, you could bring him back. Or you just wait and use Dylan Cease again. But, I mean, if King is as nasty as he was in game one, we haven't seen Dylan Cease. Maybe he'll be just as nasty. You'd at least have the option of both of those guys in a potential winner-take-all game five scenario at Dodger Stadium next Friday. Which I don't know if they're going to do. I mean, you'll have the option of you or Dylan possibly in that scenario if you pitches on Sunday. But Michael King would just be one and done. He'd pitch Tuesday. That would be his only appearance in the Dodgers series if that's currently the plan. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on does that impact your decision of trying to move Michael King up?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think
I'd go King second because win or lose on Saturday, game one, you can spin it. Like, if you pull it off and get the win on the road, then you're putting arguably your best pitcher in game two, and you're like, we're going for the throat now to take a 2-0 series lead with both games on the road. And if you lose game one, then you're like, well, now here comes the stopper.
Right.
And we get back on it, even series, go back to San Diego.
Yeah, I think I trust them to make the right decision. And listen, it's you know, we're at the point in the playoffs where, see if you follow me here. It's really just about execution. You know, it's about, this is the team we have. Like, Jake Cronenworth is struggling. Xander Bogaerts is struggling. Okay, I need them to play good defense then. I need them to run the base as well if they happen to get on base. There's the little things where, you know, you're not going to make knee-jerk reactions. This is what we have. I'm fine either way. I really am. I don't know that you have to go crazy, you know, moving guys up, moving guys around. I'm down to keep guys on regular routine. But, you know, with a guy like you, Darvish, now with Joe going down, you absolutely need him. Now, it could, you mentioned earlier, and Eno talked about it. What if you, Darvish, goes, does he have the potential to go six? Yeah. Does he have the potential to go two? Sure. Just like anybody against that potent lineup. So the same thing could happen to Michael King. So there's a part of me that goes, name your starters and go for it. You know, see what happens.
In my mind, there are two paths to winning a best of five series when you're the road team, essentially. When you don't have home field advantage.
Right. The underdog.
So you can either win one at Dodger Stadium of the three and sweep your two at home.
Correct.
Or you take two of three at Dodger Stadium and you split the two at home.
Right.
Obviously, there's a scenario where, hey, you win all the road games, they win all the road games. It's rare. It's happened. Happened in the World Series a couple of years ago, remember, when the road team won every single game.
Yeah.
But you don't see that very often. So really, you're looking to either at least steal one at Dodger Stadium and then hold serve at home on both of your games, or take two out of three. The way it's set up right now, you're going to be having the three games at Dodger Stadium would be probably Cease, and it could either be Darvish, or it could be Cease, King, and Cease. Do you have a better chance of winning two or three at Dodger Stadium with Cease, King, and Cease? Or you go Cease, Darvish, and Cease, and then hopefully you take both games at Petco Park with King and
Martin
Perez bullpen day?
Would be Cease?
Five.
Cease, Darvish, Cease would still get him 5 days.
That would get him 5 days for game five. Or you could have Darvish, or if King goes, whoever goes game two could pitch game five on 4 days rest. Whoever goes game one could pitch game five on 5 days rest.
Okay.
Or you could even think about bringing someone back on 3 days rest from Saturday to Thursday.
I think Cease is a no brainer for game one.
Wednesday, I'm sorry.
No brainer for game one.
All I'm hearing is that you could have Cease and King for game five if needed.
Yeah.
I mean, season's on the line.
Right.
Yeah. There is no tomorrow.
If there's a game five, it's all hands on deck.
I mean, true. Yeah, that's...
Where do you want you pitching? You want you pitching at home? You want?
I don't know. That's, I think that's part of the equation. We know that Michael King pitched really, really well in front of that adrenaline-fueling crowd at Petco Park.
I think I'm now sold to the point where I'll be disappointed if it's not Cease, King, Darvish.
Then King doesn't pitch at all at home again in that series.
Michael King at home in game three. Nasty.
Which is, I think, what they're thinking right now. That would be my expectation.
Yeah, but now I like the idea of seeing him twice if needed in that five-game series.
Well, he'll still be available. He'll be available.
If he pitches Wednesday, or Tuesday, it would be on 2 days rest. Maybe out of the bullpen, you could save him for an inning or something.
Cease would be available.
Would be fully available. Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. This stuff gives me tired head. I just want to win baseball games. It gives me the biggest tired head of all time.
I actually think that there are some people who enjoy this type of conversation about.
I mean, we're just throwing darts at a board, though. We have no idea what they're playing.
There's only like five darts, though. I mean, there's only so many ways you can throw them at the board. We're just trying to figure out the best ways to throw our darts here.
Nails. This is Perez, Waldron, Darvish. Yeah, really mix it up. Really, hey, we're saving our guys for the CS, so don't worry about it. We're going to see what we can do with these three guys.
I mean, if you're the Dodgers, though, and the Padres do throw a Martin Perez bullpen day, you feel like that's the one you've got to win, man.
Yeah,
and I don't know that's an easy game to win if the Padres' arms are on. As Eno said, you know, we've seen really good Martin Perez. Martin Perez can give you five innings, one run. He's done it against a lot of teams. If he does that and then turns it over to the Padres bullpen, or even four innings, one run, turns it over to the bullpen.
Go get it.
They'll probably be going up against a Landon Knack or a Buehler or a Dodger bullpen day. Not necessarily an advantageous situation for the Dodgers in a game like
that. Honestly, both teams are in kind of a similar situation with how they're going to deploy their bullpen, when they're going to deploy their bullpen, you know, what's the right time to. I think Jack Flaherty is a guy they're going to let go some distance, and I think Yamamoto, if he's on, he's a guy that can give you five or six for sure. But if one of those guys falters, or if one of our guys falters, man, you're going to see two really, really aggressive managers in this series, as they should be.
Will we see Joe Musgrove again in the postseason? We'll bring that back. We still have that audio from Joe. We can play it again if you missed it. Final segment of Ben and Woods before the roundtable is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I have this image in my mind, Woods, of Joe like sticking his arm into some sort of MRI chamber right now. I don't know exactly how those work in terms of the scans. I know the full body one, like they put you in a tube and everything.
I did that recently, yeah.
I don't know if they have to do that just for an elbow or it's a little...
I think they do.
You have to go in the whole tube thing
probably.
For just an elbow?
Yeah, because I was doing mine on my heart, like a calcium test, and they just slide you right in.
I mean, that's right in the middle. I mean, extremity.
I think you go in there.
It's like a tube you can stick it
in. It's not like when you go to CVS in the 90s and get your blood pressure at that machine.
Yeah.
I mean, they should invent that if they don't have it already.
They still have those machines.
Do they really?
I think so.
The
blood pressure cuff.
Why?
Why are you killing me?
Is this thing? This thing is the death grip
of my
heart.
Like, a little bit. All right, let me see if I can lower my heart rate and my blood pressure into acceptable levels that don't require me to go to the emergency room.
Well, and it's like a tourniquet. I mean, it's like a huge, and it's, good God, dude.
The pharmacy at our local grocery store when I was a kid had one of those, and I would always like leave my mom while she was shopping to go.
Oh, 100%.
Stick my arm in that thing and see how tight it would get. I have no idea what he's doing.
Yeah,
no idea.
Dan says they have chairs you can sit in now for MRIs. And then Rafa says some of his patients will go in for the full thing. I think it's maybe doctor dependent or machine dependent. But yeah, we're not in a position or a profession where, you know, MRIs are common. Sorry, Benny's going to be a little late today. He's got to go get another MRI, you know, whatever. It's so weird in baseball. And you do see it all the time. People going, Joe needs to just get the surgery, man. Just get the surgery. It's like, it's so easy. Everybody loves to say that.
That's true.
You got to get the surgery, bro. Do you know how like devastating a surgery can be. And everyone just looks at athletes like, just go get the surgery, man.
Stop putting it off. Just get it done.
Just get the surgery done.
You gotta get back.
Like, have you ever had surgery?
Yeah.
Any surgery?
Have you ever had surgery?
Even the smallest incision can hurt so bad.
And the recovery and the rehab and all that. Yeah, man, I get it. They're highly paid athletes, but we're very flippant. I'm saying the collective royal we, Ben. We're very flippant about, just go get the surgery. You'll be fine. You know,
so I want to play the audio again. Tony caught up with Joe after the game. Obviously, he's kind of got that euphoria of the team just winning, and he's going to be as optimistic as possible. So you have to listen to the Joe interview with that in mind. Yet you also have to trust that Joe knows his body and his arm better than probably. I don't know. Frijoles in the chat probably knows his arm and his body.
What did Frijoles do?
I just saw his name right there. I'm sorry, Frijoles. There's no
suck it, Beans.
Sorry, Beans.
No personal offense intended. And better than I know his arm or his body. So you trust that what he's saying, he's got the experience to know, and he was fairly optimistic. Here was Tony with Joe Musgrove after the game last night.
I'm here with Joe Musgrove, and Joe, obviously there's a million people out here hoping that you're all right. Just tell us how you're feeling right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better now. physically I felt better. I do feel like I got out of there in time to, you know, hopefully we'll patch this thing up and get back out there before postseason's over. So
I told Kyle Gassioka I thought he might have had the best catch, not allowing you to throw that next pitch as he ran out. Because it certainly looked like you were about to throw another pitch, despite feeling how you were feeling. What is it like to have a teammate be able to know you just from your body language?
Yeah, I'm always out there kind of hoping he would notice and come get me, you know. I really wanted to finish that inning and get out of there clean and be able to, you know, come out during the game. I got to wear this one. I think honestly it was the best thing that he came out and got me. I feel like I was a few throws away from putting myself out. So, you know, I would have loved to stay out there, but I feel like it's probably the best move for me and the team. I don't know how good my stuff would have been carrying on.
Your bullpen came in, held it down for you despite your injury. What has it meant to have guys really do that all season long, whether it's for you or anybody else out there?
That's what we talk about, the confidence in this team. It's like everyone's got their own version of confidence, but it's really the confidence in one another and the group. Like, I felt completely confident leaving that game and knowing the bullpen would pick me up. You know, obviously I hate to put Hoeing in that spot and put the innings on the bullpen, but with a lead like that and a chance to clinch today, we felt pretty good about our odds.
I'm not going to hold you too long, man. Go enjoy yourself, get patched up, and hopefully we see you in L.A.
Sure. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, Joe Musgrove, Tony Gwynn Jr., and yeah, he thinks that he can get himself, you know, back in a place where he could pitch again in the postseason. I would love if that was the case. I really would.
I'm going to be, you know, not to throw cold water on it because you never know, man. Stranger things have happened, certainly. But I think I, just as a fan myself, am preparing to have to figure it out in another direction. And luckily, AJ Preller did a good job at restocking, you know, what we have. This team is still a deep team. We did it without Joe Musgrove for a long, long time this season. We did it without Yu Darvish for a long, long time. Those players remember that. They know that. And they know that they can overcome a lot. They had the best record in baseball in the second half. Yeah.
Second best.
Second best behind the Dodgers, right?
No, the Dodgers had the best.
So you know you can do it. You've done it. So I don't know that. Yes, you miss Joe Musgrove. He will still be there to help and try to get back, but I'm preparing for the worst because I think you have to.
You could hear it in Joe's voice, though. One of the hardest things for a competitor like Joe is standing aside.
Of course.
When you don't want to. And he acknowledged after the game, probably for the best, that Higgy went and got me. You saw the velocity drop on the curveballs. I mean, had he stayed out there, who knows? Atlanta might tee off on him for a couple of batters. They don't notice for a couple of batters, all of a sudden gives up a few runs. It's a different game. They may have been better off with Higgy going and getting Joe and making that call. And at some point, Joe may have to make that call himself. Like, are we better off with me trying to suck it up? I think I can go out and pitch a game, but what if he goes out and tries and he's not Joe Musgrove and puts his team in a bad spot in like the first inning? That's a tough call. And, you know, the team and Joe are going to have to weigh all the factors going forward of what that looks like.
Question. With the workout day scheduled for tomorrow up in L.A., Do we know around when the playoff roster needs to be submitted for this round? Is it still Saturday morning? Is
yeah, I believe it won't be until officially Saturday morning, okay. Just like it was Tuesday morning for the wild card series.
That'll tell us something. Yeah. If he's even on,
yes,
he's
it
on
will
it.
Tell. Yeah,
I'm not expecting.
I'd be surprised if he's on this one. Yes. I'm hoping for Joe. You know, get back and feel healthy enough to throw like Joe in the NLCS at best,
and bring me the big tall right hander. Sean Reynolds. Would love to see him out of that bullpen. Electric type
You're
stuff.
Also going to need to add Martin Perez, probably,
correct.
As well.
Correct.
So you got some more decisions to make at the back end. Does Yuki Matsui not make the second round after he was there the first round? Didn't use him, obviously, in either of those two games. You just heard him talk about it, though. Maybe the, maybe Sung hero now of the first two games. Kyle Higashioka. I want to get into a little more Higgy right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Got our 97.3 The Fan commercial-free Padres Roundtable coming up in about 12 minutes. Presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable Pizza Royalty. And I've heard Kelly mention it, really some traffic on the 8. Craig said he got turned around, so he may be a little late. We'll clap him in like they do when you're late in the meetings if Craig's a few minutes late to the roundtable. Just warning everybody. Maybe he'll make it. I think that's it's now very dramatic to see. Are you going to be there, though? Can I count on you? I know that this is above and beyond, Woods, but I need you, buddy. I need you. Don't let me down.
I haven't decided yet.
What can I offer you?
You only signed on for regular season.
What can I offer
did.
You?
Yeah, it was a regular season thing where the regular season's over.
I'll buy you some pizza.
Nope. I'm good.
That's right. The pizza's free anyway.
Pizza's free.
All right. I get the sense that if Kyle Higashioka stuck his arm into one of those CVS blood pressure cuffs, it wouldn't even register. Guy is so, so low heartbeat.
So calm, man.
So calm all the time. So soft-spoken. Just is out there doing his job. Even when he hits a home run, barely registers, like, even a note of excitement. I mean, he's got to put on a little bit of a show, I think, just his teammates.
He was more happy to get the Blink 182 guitar.
That's
than
what I wanted to bring
run.
Up. Did you see this? Yeah, Tom DeLonge, who threw out the first pitch on Tuesday, presented Kyle Higashioka with the actual guitar that was used in the video for All the Small Things.
Incredible.
Like, for him. And then Kyle immediately plugged it in and did the All the Small Things like, riff in that in that room where he keeps his amp at Petco Park.
It's like Slash bringing the November Rain guitar. I'm just like, oh my God, dude. This
not
is
just
insane.
A guitar yeah, that not, he used one. The one listen, he played with at Petco Park a couple months
but
ago.
But like, if he wants to give Higgy a guitar, a Tom DeLonge model Fender Stratocaster, it's a phone call away. I need one, and I need it to go to the Padres clubhouse. It's that guitar that's just like insane to think about. And Higgy's face, he's like, no way. It was really, really.
Man, I feel like this should be locked up somewhere and like with other band.
Or at least at like a Hard Rock Cafe or something hanging somewhere, right? Like
Mark and Travis were like, wait. What?
Yeah.
You
gave him that one? I thought that was so rad. So,
really
so cool. I loved it, man. I love Higgy. You guys know, man. He is just one of my favorites and such a good dude. Had him in studio. So kind to us. So kind to my son. My son treasures his Higgy autograph. It's displayed prominently in his room. Just a great, great human. And I've really enjoyed him this year.
You love to see him heating up. We saw what happened when he got hot. What was that, around June, July?
Yeah,
when he just went off for a month. And whatever, you know, he's that adjustments guy, like the tiniest adjustments. Remember in June, it was, I'm just going to close my stance like 2 inches.
Yep.
And it turned all those foul home runs into home runs. Well, he may have made another adjustment recently because he looks fairly locked in at the plate. I don't think Mike Schilt will move him out of the 9-hole. He's not the kind of guy, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But Kyle Higashioka is a dangerous weapon right now, especially batting 9th. And then he said this in the news conference when he spoke at Petco Park the other day. He doesn't really measure himself by what he does at the plate. It's great, yeah. I mean, 17 home runs, new career high, 2 in the postseason. He wants to help his team, but really the only thing he measures himself by are wins and losses, because he feels like that is the measure of whether you're doing a good job as a catcher. is whether your team wins. Because more than any other player, I mean, maybe close to the starting pitcher, it's the catcher who kind of impacts the whole game of what's going on. And you know, he's done a really good job. They win a lot of games when Kyle Kagashioka's been behind the plate.
He's been really good, man. He's been really good. Works really well, obviously, with Michael King, as you saw the other night. And, you know, as a guy that was labeled the word that I hate, you know, the phrase that I hate is throw-in, a guy that was labeled a throw-in on the Juan Soto deal, he's been spectacular in every sense of the word. And just a real calming presence in the clubhouse, real calm at the plate. I love his ABs. He's put some really good swings on balls. Let's keep it rolling. Need him. You know, as Dylan Cease called him, the best nine-hole hitter in the game, Kyle Higashioka.
Let's be honest. When they knew they had to trade Juan Soto, we were hoping, hey, if you can get like 75% of the value of what Juan Soto's going to bring, you probably are doing pretty well in that trade. As the season went on, you realized Padres probably made out just as well as the Yankees. And now as you look going forward, with the fact that, you know, Michael King's going to be back another year, Randy Vasquez could be in the rotation next year. You know, Juan Soto is not a Yankee next year. I mean, they can sign him, but he's a free agent. All of a sudden, that trade is looking better and better and better every single moment.
Don't forget Drew Thorpe, you know, who was the centerpiece in the Dylan Cease deal. So it was really well done. And AJ took a tremendous amount of grief for that trade. And everyone's like, oh, you got Michael King, you should have gotten Clark Schmidt. You should have gotten Luis Gil. You should have gotten Jason Dominguez. Well,
they set their sights on Michael King.
They wanted Michael King. Yeah. And that's the guy they wanted. And it's amazing to me, the Yankees, with all their starting pitching woes, never decided, let's just get this guy locked in full time. He's clearly got it.
All right, who feels like a little roundtable? I'm going to twist Woods' arm, and I'm going to bring him over to the soundstage, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes. Paulie, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Last show before a Dodgers series starts on a Friar Friday.
Let's get weird
tomorrow. Coming up for Paulie, for Woods.
Kiss the roach.
I'm Ben. One quick. Off the microphone. Paulie's got it.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.